G'day everybody, welcome to the first on-air episode for season 2025. You are listening possibly live. We're doing this live on Twitter on Wednesday night. And I'm joined ably by Jono, who very cruelly decided that he would be interstate for the episode this week. How does it feel to finally rock up to do, let's call it your job?
Yeah, no, it's been nice, you know, getting away in Sydney and just letting you guys do all the hard yards in the last little bit of the season. But
it's a quiet week. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's not nothing massive going on just tomorrow night. So no, I'm keen to be back. It was a shame to miss that episode, but the City to Surf only happens when it happens. But look, it's I'm so excited we've got teams finally. We can actually start digging into the final changes to our squads.
Yes. Well, before we get to teams, I think so for people listening in, I think generally we want to talk about the injury list. I think there's a few in there. We've finally got an official one, first of all. Few things in there that probably need some discussion. And then, yeah, we'll look at the teams that are announced for Wednesday. Don't worry, we will still be doing another version of On Air Part 2 for Round 1 on Friday evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In terms of the injury list, if I had to ask you what was the one kind of most fantasy relevant player that was in there of note, who would it have been?
Oh, look, I think Gab Pound was one that I started most of the preseason with her in my side. And I think she'd fallen out recently with Darcy Vesio kind of moving into that back line as well. But now that Gab Pound is out, I think that distributor role in the Carlton backline is both really difficult to pick, but there aren't a lot of options. So someone's going to get it. And all of the options are very, very cheap. So I think that's one that I'm looking very strongly at. I'm not sure if it's going to be Darcy Vesio themselves or one on the bench. I'm really trying to figure out where Meg Robertson plays.
Yes.
She recently had a 39 disposal game in the VFLW. I think that could be a fantastic option if it turns out she's playing that halfback role.
Here's the thing, though. She did that 39 disposals in the week that was meant to be the practice match. And yet yes. Suddenly Carlton have decided, and again, we're getting straight into teams already, but Lou Field, who looked great, played both the pracky and the match sim, is now an emergency. So that one's a little bit of a tough one to understand.
To me, it's that half back line that they've named, Maddie Hendry, Poppy Schultz, and Harriet Cordner.
Tall.
They're all so tall. You know, like, if you add Lou Fields to that, who's also pretty tall herself, like, you've got a lot of intercept marking power, but who's going to be ground level kind of, you know, running and creating pace off that half back line?
Even so Kira Fitzgerald is, let's call her a medium sized defender. They don't.
And Vesio plays as a key forward when they're forward. So it's, you know, definitely can play tall or short, very much that alternating size. But there's not one that sort of screams this is going to be the small halfback, you know, running and creating pace.
Yeah, it was a fascinating thing to see because Pound had played defence in both the match sim and the pracky. And then, to see that they'd, you know, broken their leg was fascinating. And it sounds like it was a relatively recent thing. So I am certainly more substantially looking at Darcy as a result. The player, the injury list that I thought was most interesting was Melbourne's. The fact that Kate Hoare and Maeve Chaplin are both a test, but also that list is already so injured that if both of them don't play, they will need to dip into replacement players already.
Yeah. Well, it's one that's really frustrating because I have Kate Hoare in my side at the moment.
It makes so many things work too because she's so cheap.
Yeah. And the main problem is that even if she gets selected, I'm going to be worried that she's still injured and just playing because she can. Like the fact that it's a bone bruising thing, I think that's the sort of thing where like she can probably play through the pain. It's just going to make it worse for a long time. And so, like, if they're really struggling for numbers, I can see her playing and just playing very limited minutes, which I really don't like.
Yeah, neither. I would have loved that, you know, she's a test, but is aiming at looking like she'll play, which is kind of what we got for some others on injury lists. Like, for example, one that I'd mentioned on Monday and another one that I thought was interesting is Cynthia Hamilton. Had been named as, so the injury report at Sydney said a test, but it sounds like Cynthia's rejoined main training. If we'd got that for Kate Hoare, I'd have been fascinated by it. But yeah, it kind of makes it a bit more difficult. Another one that that kind of piqued my interest was Emma Carney, 2 weeks.
Mm.
Do you think that Emma Carney being out has a bigger impact on Libby Birch or Erica O'Shea, with one being a lot more popular, just being with O'Shea being as cheap as she is?
Yeah, I feel like O'Shea has had pop games in the past but hasn't really carried on with it. I feel like they're one that really tempts me. I didn't watch the North Pracky match though. You watched that and you came out raving about Libby Birch. So I'm curious more for your take on this than mine, because
10 marks is 10 marks. Like,
10 marks
real.
Is a lot of marks, yeah.
10 marks is a lot of marks, and that's probably the main thing that interested me. But it's more if Carney is playing, I don't know if Libby Birch is able to score nearly as highly. Whereas with Erica O'Shea being as cheap as she is, you know, priced at 36, it's at a price range where a month of 55, 60 and it's good enough. Whereas I think that that's possible just playing as a flanker. I think off the top of my head, North have a pretty solid run. Good enough that I can predict those scores, but I certainly don't think it hurts either of them. I definitely think that Birch could have two pop scores first 2 weeks. But then also, you know, I probably want to see teams. There is the possibility that she has to play tall with the other player that's now been kind of confirmed on the injury report, which is Sarah Wright being out for personal reasons.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating one, particularly with Ashley Maloney as the first up matchup.
Yeah. Well, if I can, I think the North injuries are very similar to the Hawthorn injury list, and you've kind of got players in a similar price bracket. So Jenna Richardson being out for, I think it was 3 weeks, that's a big deal for the Hawthorn backline, who were, I suppose, trying to fit in two new players in Najwa Allen and Keely Coyne. And I think it makes it much more likely that they both play. And, you know, we talk in that practice match, Jenna Richardson's kind of been that marking, intercepting player that dominated. Libby Birch is 584K, but Ainsley Kemp kind of took that role in the practice match. She's 582K, so 2K cheaper than Libby Birch, almost identical price. She also had a huge pop score. I think she had 9 marks and an 83 or something. And then a little bit cheaper down, only played in the second half. But
in coin.
Really coin. Yeah, she looked really good. I can't stress how much the Hooks were switching it and how much she was a part of it when they did.
Yeah, and
she's around the same price there.
Speaking of Richardson, I have been going down a further rabbit warren. And for people that listen to the podcast that came out on Tuesday, I was kind of talking about looking at defenders that and kind of how many of them rely on a high number of intercepts as compared to their disposals. And then I went a little bit deeper and started looking at, like, what are the types of averages for defenders who do and don't take kick-ins? And Jenna Richardson, I think, was fourth highest average for defenders who don't take kick-ins. And the other three are Ellinger, McAvoy, and Randall, where the common denominator is they don't always play in defense. So Ellinger, midfield time, bit of wing time. Randall is bit part who's he, what's it, wherever you feel like. And then McAvoy, much the same. And so Jenna Richards and I, like, and feel free to correct me, you've watched a lot more intently these Hawthorn games, but I think it is because she is the point of that switch and Hawthorn leaving defence and it's sustained scoring for Tam Smith and Tilly Lucas-Rodd is built on ball control and 45 kicks and switches. Yeah. And so Richards...
She's also an intercepts, you know, beast, but I do think that the switching often goes through her. And I see that, if anything, in this preseason, it looked like we're going to be doing it more.
Do you think then that if you had to pick who's the better player, is it Allen, Nashua Allen, or Keeley Coyne? Given that, as you said, Coyne only played a half, which is kind of why I've not entertained it that much. I don't love that it's only a half of football.
Yeah.
The second half.
I've been going back and forth because I do think if you had to drop one from that back line, it's either Laura Elliott or Keeley Coyne. And it's from the two, I really liked what Laura Elliott was delivering last season. It's hard to fit in Coyne. I think that half was mainly because they're still trying to manage her minutes coming back from that ACL. So I was wondering if maybe she'd start out of the side and then come in when she was fully fit. But if she does get selected, I mean, she's cheap enough that I think she can put up as high scores as Nashua Allen can. And yeah, I see no reason why they couldn't be, you know, a huge bargain in that back line. I'm honestly considering doing both of them, which is, I mean, it's crazy. I can't do both, but is going to be in trouble when Jenna Richardson eventually comes back. But
those would be some brown and gold tinted spectacles on if you were to pick both of them.
No, I can't ruin my season this early. That's ridiculous. I waited till round four last year. That feels more right.
That would be very bold. The one kind of final injury thing that I wanted to mention was the fact that Izzy Huntington was named as healthy and fit to play this week, and she hadn't played in the practice match, which affects someone that I was posting about earlier today, which is Cambridge McCormick. And I won't dwell on that one too much now because we've got to get to the Thursday teams. But yeah, it's certainly one to kind of ponder upon, and I wonder if McCormick can still score well this year in a team that has her, Kat Smith, Izzy Huntington, and then also Ellie Brown added in new this season to replace, what's the name of the defender who
Pepper Randall retired.
Pepper Randall retired, that's right.
I think that's a bigger retirement because she was also on kickouts, Randall, and it seems like McCormick's taken that. Huntington took one kickout last year. Pease and Randall took
Pease was taking the two. Pease was taking them. And Kat Smith was taking a bunch in the pracky. Yeah. But
the other one was Grierson is out of that back line as well.
Yeah. Grierson was a bit of a bit part player for them though. I don't think that she played all games. But yeah, it's a fair point. She's had
seven or eight, nine? I think she's played nearly every game. I think she only missed a
but
couple.
But not, sorry, I should have clarified. Not all games in defence. She also played a bit of forward.
That's fair. Yeah.
Well, let's not dwell too much on the injury lists and teams that we'll talk about on Friday. Let's move into Carlton and Collingwood straight away. I'd say the most relevant storyline here is the fact that Ash Centra has been picked. And look, we ward against it every year, but named on the ball, which is not a bad thing, let's say.
Yeah. No, I love to see it. I love that they're just naming her straight up in there.
Do you think the fact that, yes, she's named means that, yeah, we just pick her and you decide if you want to do it on field, or is it not, can't do it on field, pick her anyway and then figure out later if the role's any good?
Yeah, that I think that's the bigger question. I think that the upside is too good not to pick her. The question is, coming off that hip injury that she's had, do you start her on field? And I think it's a bit too much of a risk. I'd prefer to go someone like Zippy Fish. But, it's a hard one. It's the sort of thing where you kind of wish this was happening mid-season so that you might have a red dot on the bench and you could loop because you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, but
you want all the green dots to start the season.
You want all the green dots this year, particularly because, and it's something that I thought about this morning. Didn't mention anything about captains on the podcast that we recorded on Monday. And that's because internally I'm just going, well, it's just Noffy at the moment. And until proven otherwise, Ebony Marinoff is your captain. don't pick a red dot for the purposes of taking a VC unless it's like 170 at this stage, or 150 at least. But even then, I'm against it. So you're not picking a red dot to then, you know, throw them on field in place of to, you know, take a score from Sentra.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
The other things that I thought were interesting, obviously we've already talked about the fact that Meg Robertson has been named, and also DV named. I'd say they're the two main, like, small to medium ball users in defence for Carlton. Then we'd already mentioned Lou Field was an emergency. The other one who had played in the match sim was Amelia Velado, another wing defender hybrid, also named as an emergency. So if you were looking for signs to pick DV, possibly in place of Brooke Tonin, there's the only negative at the moment we've got is the second half against GWS, because otherwise it's pretty much all green flags.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think they've got every other position held in a way that they didn't last year. It's really the missing piece is that small defender. So,
yeah,
I'm probably going to be doing some restructuring at some point tomorrow and seeing if I can fit her in, because I think my fifth forward at the moment is a little too expensive. A little too cheap to be able to reach up to the more expensive DV. So that's going to take some digging.
Yes. I've already done a little bit of rejigging. Don't love everything that's happened as a result. And so it doesn't feel very settled. In terms of also not feeling settled, it's the Collingwood back line, because we've now seen that Lucy Cronin, after not playing in the practice match, has been named and is fit to play.
Yeah.
Lauren Butler is back there. Tani White, who was prominent across halfback in the match sim, practice match, also named to play, as well as Annie Lee. We were kind of talking a lot about the possibility of picking Butler and Cronin earlier in the preseason. Both are named in defence. Are you in a position to pick either of them? Do you prefer one over the other? Or do you feel like that, and this is kind of where I've been thinking, there is that much change in that Collingwood backline, it's very difficult to predict who will be the beneficiary.
Yeah. No, I think I'm less excited by Butler now than I was earlier in the season. I just think it might have been that Cronin was missing, but I think she was playing a lot more lockdown than the other defenders. I think Tani White was probably the most prominent sort of distributor of those, you know, transition kicks. Not that on the windy day there were many of them going around.
And it wasn't in their defence ridiculous amount. Or if it was,
they were just setting up that wall, yeah.
It was. I think it was about even on inside 50s, but they, like, it wasn't hanging around in that defense. It was going in and then coming out pretty quickly, and it was living at the other end of the ground for most of the game, or at least most of the first half. I'm in a similar position on Butler. I'm happy to say that, you know, she's firmly on my watch list, as is this entire Collingwood backline, and see how it structures up. I don't love that. The kind of distribution of talls either. Like, I feel as though they've got two talls and two smalls. Georgia Clark, who was drafted as a forward, was playing in defence, is another kind of mid-tall defender. So I just feel like Tani White is the player, kind of ex-midfielder, that they've thrown back there for ball use. So at the moment I'm out on those defenders, but I'm certainly going to be keeping an eye on it, because I won't be shocked if one of the players named as a defender or a forward will pop up as the player to pick.
Yeah, I have my suspicions that it's going to be Tani White, which is a shame given she's listed as a midfielder. But yeah, it is what it is. I think the other player, though, that I'm looking at on the Collingwood side is their ruck. We're not seeing Sabrina Frederick. We're seeing Imogen Barnett again. And she was pretty good. She's, you know, played a lot in that ruck role. We're struggling for, like, strong forwards that were, you know, pretty confident in their scoring. Has she done enough this preseason for you to get excited about it, or?
She is someone alongside Piper Window that if I'm going cheaper, if I'm going rookie on field in the midfield, I'm looking to try and get one of them in to bolster what is otherwise a pretty weak forward line in my squad. So she's close. She's close to doing enough. She's been in and out over the past 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
It's not an ideal first matchup, though, either, is the other problem, going up against Good and Harrington.
No, it's tricky, but I think you look at the scoring that Frederick was putting up last year. I think even with a quiet first game, there's a lot of headroom for her to make, putting up into the 60s, maybe mid-60s for a ruck score. I mean,
because I think she's priced at the ballpark 55.
Not necessarily a top five forward, but in the ballpark of that, you know. Surprised
yeah, it, it absolutely will. Even.
It's pretty cheap.
Hang on. Let me pull her up. 51.5. Sorry, I'd gotten the 1 and 5 crosswired in my head. Yeah, look, she's firmly on the list to watch out for. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if by the time I get to 7:15 tomorrow night and she's popped her head into my, you know, F3.
Yeah.
And even if she isn't, she's another player where if I'm doing a restructure, she's at a price that would be really helpful. If I feel like, even if it's like more Sabs forward, maybe Barnett's like 60, 65% ruck contest, that'd be great. I'd feel really confident. From what I saw in the practice match, it was about 50-50. And Sabs was definitely winning a lot more hit-outs than Barnett was. It's just that Barnett is better when the ball hits the ground.
Yeah. I'm just wanting to keep my options open for Montana Ham. I've currently got in that spot there, and it's a very similar price. And if she's named, you know, half forward and there's a lot of on-ball is named in the spots that I wanted to see Montana Ham, I'm just trying to keep
could
my
be a
options
flop,
open.
Flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with you. In terms of just some other names that I just want to quickly mention before we move across to the other game, Sophie McKay being named on a half forward line. I wouldn't be shocked if she scores all right, but I do feel like it might be a little bit of time before she's given midfield time. And I don't know how good Carlton's forward line is going to score.
Yeah.
Same logic applies for Violet Patterson, another rookie. This one for Collingwood, again, named half forward. I'm not sure how much I trust that. At the moment, the rookie I'm picking is Centra, and I'm just watching the rest of them.
Yeah, I think with the Carlton half forwards, it's a good first up matchup with Collingwood, but it goes Hawthorn in round 2, Brisbane round 3. So I think you'd be committing to a longer term hold, I think, with those ones.
Yep, agreed.
And
sadly, I'm not picking Iran Fitzpatrick at the moment.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Devastating. I think,
Poppy Schultz is one that tempts me a little bit just because we haven't got a lot of depth in that defensive line. And since we don't know what's happening with that defensive line, you know, if I wanted to spend up a little bit of my forward line, I did a bit of a restructure, then that is one I could sort of see popping on field. Like if I was to run Jess Wrench at D5.
Possibly.
Bench.
I just don't like the fact that Schultz is like 400K just because she was such a high draft pick. It is a fair bit more expensive than the defensive bench options that I've been kind of running to date. But, yeah, it's another name to kind of consider. Unless you've got any others, I was going to jump across to the West Coast Eagles against the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, no, let's jump across.
First up, I don't know if everyone's seen them, but the comments coming from Daisy Pierce today about Jess Wrench. They're both good and bad. Daisy was like, yep, look, she's looked great as a midfielder. She's had an awesome preseason. Would love to see Annabelle Johnson get up because that's a defender that they're missing. But at the moment, like, you know, she's played well enough to play in the midfield. And I'm like, that's great. I love the fact that she's, you know, more like she's been picked to play in the midfield, named on ball, which is excellent. But I don't love the fact that they've got Annabelle Johnson out for half the season with an MCL strain. Sorry, no, not, yeah, a meniscus strain. And then also they've picked Lucia Painter. So at the moment, like, based on those comments, were you more or less likely to run Wrench on field at D5?
Yeah. I mean, the way that I see it is that she's starting there in a Terz to lose. I think basically that, you know, if she can produce in the first couple games, then she'll be able to hold that role. I'm not worried about this first game. I think West Coast is in for a win over the Gold Coast early, which would be nice to see.
I think win is understating it too.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I think that basically they're going to keep going until they're playing opposition that, you know, is a little bit better. And then from that point onwards, once the role moves back to defense, I mean, the average is going to drop drastically. So I suppose it's how early are we going to have to find a bailout option? And it's that's the nervous part to me, is that you're going to have to find another defender to move sideways to. And anyone who's scored well is probably going to be matching her price rises, and it's going to be a difficult
sideways spot
to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, I've had all the same thoughts, and that's why I'm currently structuring up to not have Wrench on field.
Yeah.
Yes, I might be giving up points on rookies that I'd be picking in the forward line, but at the moment I don't love a lot of the rookie defensive options without going into all of them now. So that's one to, again, it's a worthwhile watching bits and pieces of the game, not just to see the midfield time for Wrench, but also how do West Coast look like they're structuring up defensively? I see they've named Court Rowley on halfback. They've also named Cleaver on the bench, and they've got Wackford on field. There is an okay number of defenders. It's just something that I'm going to have to be watching, and it might mean that depending on how that goes and whether or not I might feel like we need to trade Wrench quickly because that midfield role is gone, might determine what kind of cash I'm holding over next week.
Yeah. I mean,
for next week.
I feel like half that forward line plays midfield predominantly. And that's a huge concern when you're looking at, if she's got to perform to hold her spot, it's just a lot of pressure, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Now, in terms of one other thing to mention for West Coast, it's the fact that Liz McGrath and Sarah Lakai have been named. Do you think that rules out picking McGrath as your ruck?
Yeah, I don't think she'll be a bad option, but I just don't think there's as much upside. Like, had she been named solo ruck, I think you could possibly expect like a 60-plus average. But I just think if they're sharing ruck, I imagine looking at their team, they're probably not going to spend – I mean, they might spend some time floating forward when they're resting, but there'll probably be a lot of time on the bench as well. I really think that they're just likely to, you know, end up being in that high 30s, low 40s kind of range.
Or maybe I wouldn't be running them on field.
I don't think.
Yeah. And with a pop score possibly this week, because moving across, Taylor Gregory, the last second recruit, has been named as the ruck.
Well, she's been named as the ruck rover. I'm pretty sure Charlie Rowbottom's been named as the ruck.
Rowbottom's the ruck. Which, if we're being honest, Charlie Rowbottom's not that far off the height of a ruck. And a damn sight taller than some other rucks that are going around the competition at the moment, or at least as chop-outs. But Gregory named, Darcy Davis also named. So that's kind of two rucks, but then Lauren Bella emergency.
Yeah,
among some other surprising emergencies, Kelly Gibson as well, which is a forward that is now kind of a key for this West Coast squad kind of through its history, is this big shock to see that she's not named. But in terms of the rucks, the fact that Bella is not named, does that mean, depending on obviously teams that come out tomorrow night, is it more viable to go with a rookie ruck strategy? We've now got four rookies named to play already. So it's Gregory, Harris, Reed from Sydney, and then there was another one that I can't remember right now. But four rookie rucks named already. We've got Piper Dunlop that we're expecting to be named, and possibly also Courtney Murphy. is the rookie ruck strat becoming a more viable option given the volume that we have, therefore increasing the chances that we get one who goes at, say, that mid 50, which for rookie scores is really solid?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there are a number of options and a number of good options. So I wouldn't convince anyone not to take a rookie ruck option. I would suggest not running with Taylor Gregory. I was really surprised that Lauren Bella wasn't listed on the Gold Coast injury report because she was touch and go all the way up until this week. And now they've not mentioned her even as a test.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really don't know what to make of that. I would have assumed, I mean, she, aside from Mim Strom, I think she's been the hit out leader of the last two seasons.
Yes, it was a shock to me, and it maybe means that they're worried about her conditioning, and so they've said you'll play if we desperately need you, but otherwise we want you to get fit again. Thank you, Corey Blackledge, for the comment. It was Zoe Basanko, the queen of Togvutmi, who was the other rookie ruck who's been named to debut. Yeah, look, it's. I think it's increasingly likely that the play is viable to run with rookie rucks. In terms of other things from this game, the sheer volume of rookies that have been named for the Gold Coast is, A, exciting for their kind of youth and rejuvenation. They're all, a lot of them are ex-academy picks, but also not a great sign for their competitiveness this year. So it could be that we're targeting Gold Coast matchup kind of throughout the year for pop scores.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think for the Gold Coast, I think it almost cements the idea in my mind that Neve McLaughlin is going to become even more important to how they get that ball out of the back.
Agreed. I am of a similar opinion. And if you haven't gone back and had a chance to rewatch the replay of that practice match, it is worthwhile doing. Neve McLaughlin was incredible in the first half, particularly. I think she would have been on like 60 something after the first half. Definite potential for that 15 points of average. I would love a more consistent kick-in role, but definitely feel like she'll be their most important ball user off halfback. The other player to mention as playing as a defender is Ella Mora, who is a mid to low 500K forward, was also playing in defence in the Pracky, scored okay.
At 61, I think, looking at.
Yeah, and the ball did live back there in the practice match, but I suspect that that could be something that is true for a lot of this year, or at least the first portion of this year. So another name, not one that I just feel confident enough in picking, and I feel like the issue with Mora is that, you know, played midfield and forward last year, named off halfback this year. Feels like a bit of a chess piece that could get moved up and down the ground. Let's say, you know, they want to throw one of their rookies in defence for a little bit. It might be Mora that moves, or if it's Taya Oliver, who spent some time in defence last year, particularly in some halves when Daisy Darcy was injured, might be the player that gets moved into defence. Mora gets moved forward. But I wouldn't be fully talking someone out of picking them at the moment. I don't know if you're the same.
Yeah, no, I'd say the same. I can imagine that first-year coach as well, you're going to be experimenting a lot.
Yeah, so, I fully agree.
Yeah. I think the question to me is, with Claudia Whitford out, they're running a little bit thin through the midfield as well, and Ella Mora is one of the pieces that can run through there. I expect Lily Mithen probably gets a go first after Robottom and Frank Catasano and Lucy Single named in there. But I don't really see a lot of other names that I would expect to run through the midfield. So I'd say Mora's probably got the next opportunity.
Ella Smith, the forward we picked last year. Yeah, this Gold Coast team is a bit of a conundrum for me. And I would be shocked if they're extremely competitive to start the year. But hey, I'd love to be proven wrong. Like, I want more competitive football games to watch. But yeah, I'm a little bit worried. Well, short of Jono, you having any other players you wanted to mention? That just about wraps up part one of On Air for this week. Thank you, everyone, for dropping by. Sorry that we haven't had a chance to get to many questions. This has really been trying to get ahead of just these Thursday night games because we're not able to do anything live tomorrow. Hopefully, you're starting to get your team together. Just make sure you've got the players locked in that you are that you're wanting from these first two games. You'll definitely see more from us posted on socials tomorrow. We'll be kind of trying to keep across all of the information that comes up as it appears online. And good luck. You'll hear from us again on Friday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait to see. I mean, if this is the chaos of two games being announced, we've got seven more to come. It's going to be a lot of big decisions coming on Friday.
Yeah, great. Love it. I'm so excited. I'm not at all nervous. It's excellent. Welcome. There's so much nervous energy. All right. Thanks, everyone. Talk soon.
Thanks all. Bye.